Yeah. Welcome everybody for another day of satsang. Okay, there is someone who sent me some chat. Who is this? I can hear and see you perfectly, says Rishi. We can't hear you, we can't see you, but it's okay. I'm going to do all the talking anyways. And let's start. Let's begin. So I would like to first, all of you, to settle down, relax, close your eyes. We'll start with a meditation. This particular meditation is called the inner hygiene meditation. Inner hygiene meditation. You all know about outer hygiene meditation, but this is about inner, because outer we all are we are expert in outer hair hygiene. We know how to take bath, we know how to brush our teeth and everything, but we forget that there is an inner hygiene also that we need to do every day. This particular meditation should be the first thing, let me repeat, this particular meditation should be the first thing that you do in level 2. When you begin your level 2 practices, we must begin with this meditation. There are two requirements in this meditation. First is attention to the breath. The focal point or the point or the attention, the attentiveness that we have to give in this meditation, because it is the preparation for higher and deeper meditations to come later on. So the preparatory step of level 2 has to do with inner hygiene meditation. Okay, we have to keep our inner self, prana and breath, very clean. So just like how we keep our breath that goes outside clean, we have to make sure that it is not stinking. Similarly, we have to make sure that our inner breath is also very clean. And there is a step for that. There's a preparation for that. It is hardly a 6 to 7 minute meditation. Very effective. So the two things that are required here is attentiveness to the breath as it flows in and flows out of your system. And the second thing that is required of this meditation is to extend the level of inhalation to your fullest capacity, and then extend the level of exhalation to your fullest capacity. Means you are taking deep inhalations and deep exhalations. And the most important point here is you are not going to stop, which means you are going to omit the pause in between the inhalation and the exhalation. You have to allow the exhalation to follow inhalation, and the inhalation will follow the exhalation in a rhythm. You will get the rhythm in time as you train yourself and become skillful in this. We are omitting the pause here. We are not, you see, breath has three things. Pranayama has three things. As you know, inhalation, retention, and exhalation. Now, in this preparatory one, we are not going to do retention at all. It doesn't mean that we will not take a slight pause. We will take a slight pause, but that slight pause is only to switch from inhalation to exhalation and from exhalation to inhalation. And I will tell the reason why, but only afterwards we have done this meditation. I don't want to give too much theory initially. So let's begin. Let's start. We have to do this particular meditation only 21 times. So we count. We first close our eyes and relax ourselves, relax our shoulders. And first thing we do is exhale. We do never inhale first. Always. This is the yogic science. Why we exhale first is because there are already toxins in our system. We carry it. First thing, throw the toxins out. Exhale first. Always remember, exhale first deeply from through your nose. Never mouth. Always nose. Whenever inhalations are also taking place, and exhalations are told, unless told by me, you should always inhale and exhale through your nose. Okay, so let's exhale first. Now, without stopping, inhale but gently. Inhale up. To the fullest capacity, at your fullest capacity, as much as you can, slowly, as much as you can, inhale, then take a slight little pause and immediately exhale. Then immediately inhale. Immediately exhale. Immediately inhale. Immediately exhale. A few things that you have to remember here is, do not take your breath into the chest. Your breath should not be in the upper part of your body. It should be in your side of your belly, sides where the diaphragms are there, upper belly, the diaphragms. So try to keep your body still. And try to keep your chest and your belly at the same level. Means it should not be inflated. They both should not be expanded. I know I told about belly breathing, but that is a different meditation. This is to concerned with the diaphragmic breathing. So try to take the breath in the diaphragms. Okay. So that your lungs become very, very strong with this breathing. Most toxins happen because the lungs have become very weak. We have to increase the capacity of the diaphragms. So exercise them. That's what calls the inner hygiene meditation. So in this inner hygiene meditation, I'm going to take slowly the breaths up and without pausing, I go slowly downwards. And then again, without pausing, I take it up again. So please do this 21 times now, slowly. Remember, the deeper you will inhale to the fullest capacity, the more oxygen intake is taking place in your system. And the more deeper you will exhale, the more toxins you are throwing out. So see the advantage of breathing properly and deeply. The best place for concentration while you are doing this inhalation and exhalation is the third eye. So if you can keep your focus in the third eye and move slowly, very slowly, gently and slowly, but in full capacity. It doesn't have to be forceful at all. It has to be very gentle. And then gently exhale, slowly exhale. It doesn't have to be in Ujjayi also. Like right now, I am breathing in Ujjayi. You need not breathe in Ujjayi. You do it according to what feels very natural to you. It could just be normal moving up of the breath, inhaling and exhaling without the noise, without the Ujjayi breath. Most important criteria is we have to increase our capacity to take deeper inhalations and deeper exhalations. Remember one thing, biggest key I'm telling you. If you can take deep inhalations and deeper exhalations, your entire toxins of body will completely go away. They'll be thrown out of your system. And you can increase the capacity of your oxygen levels in your body by at least 200 to 300%. The current capacity of oxygen is, if it is just, if you're thinking it is 100%, it can increase by another 200% easily. Just by making this 7-minute inner hygiene meditation, by incorporating this, you will see that your oxygen levels are increasing in your body. Do not allow the body to swing ahead or back. Keep it completely still. One place. Your attention should be one pointed onto the breath. Do not lose alertness nor awareness of breath. Very important. Let's do a few more. Inhale, inhale deeply. Any good pranayama or deeper pranayama always begins with very deep inhalation and exhalations because of filling your entire body cells, energizing your body cells with oxygen, number one. And secondly is to expel and to remove all the toxins that are accumulated in the way of blockages. So you will find while you're doing this meditation of deep inhalation and deep exhalation that you might meet with certain blockages in the body. Now for you to stop the inhalation and exhalation and to move your attention inside and feel those blockages. Feel, move into the vast emptiness inside you. It could be in the area of chest. It could be in the area of your belly. It could be in your head, wherever, or your throat. Wherever you feel that energy has been blocked or there has been an obstacle or a constriction, just observe those blockages. And very gently allow the fresh oxygen that you have just inhaled to go and open those blockages. Let me just gently breathe into it, very gently. Now here we are not doing any deep inhalations or deeper exhalations. That 21 times we've already done. Here we are sitting and we are trying to get information of the blockages, constrictions, which have been developed due to the toxins that we have accumulated. Just sit with those, observe those obstacles, those blockages, those constrictions. And simply breathe into it. Very gentle breathing. Now it may be possible that naturally your body on its own will tell you how to remove that blockage through the breath. So the breath could be very gentle, soft, or suddenly you'll find in another session that it is becoming very forceful. Let it allow it to do as it is. Sometimes you might feel you are automatically going into a bhastrika. That is, you start automatically doing that. Forceful breaths, removing the blockage that has been created, which has been there in your body. Howsoever your body responds to that foreign blockage that has been kept there, let it do. Don't interfere with it. Just you breathe and you exhale. How it breathes, how it exhales, do not control that. Let it be very natural. after you have done this, just watch the breath move into your nostrils as you inhale. Feel the cool current of the breath move inside your nostrils. And as you exhale, feel the warm current as it moves out of your nostrils. So basically, there are three steps here. First, extended inhalations, no stopping, and extended exhalations, no stopping. Do this 21 times. Second, stop and become normal, go into normal breathing, and just move inside your vast emptiness of your body and examine if there are any blockages that you may have come across during those 21 times meditation that you did, or you can feel any blockages inside your body. Allow the breath to do what it needs to do while you examine those blockages. And third, as you come to end this you should do for 2 minutes. At the end of it, just as you complete and finish this third step, which is just watching the breath, inhaling and exhaling. That's all. Just watch. Feel the contact of the breath as it makes with your nose, as it moves inside, as it throws outside. So this entire particular exercise should not take more than probably 12 to 13, 14 minutes in your day to clear your, maybe even 10 minutes you can do it, because to do 21 will hardly take 6 minutes or 7 minutes to do it, and then it can even increase, the time intervals might go to even 10 minutes, but it won't be more than 8 to 10 minutes. And then sitting for 2 minutes there, so that means 12 minutes and another a minute or two just to watch. So it's the whole exercise should be done in around 12 minutes time, and then you can start with your level two exercises of pranayama, of going into the sushumna breathing, doing the ohms there. So please begin your meditations by doing this very preliminary preparatory exercise. So open your eyes, everybody. Just remember the instruction, 21 times you will be doing this meditation as a preparatory to prepare yourself to go deeper. You know, we always look at something when you come for satsang, that there should be some miracle that should take place, some experience I must have. You will have all experience, I can assure you, 100%. But the biggest experience or the biggest blessing or the biggest gift is already within you, is already there. And that is your breath. Breath is primary to everything. Please understand this. That's why yogis, they worship breath. They don't worship anything else. Because they know the science behind it. Even your beingness, if you ask me, can you know even your beingness without breathing? You can know your beingness only because you are breathing. If the breath is not there, how can you know even your beingness? It's not possible. That's why you must have an attitude of worshipping your breath. Very important. It does many things. Many. Once you get into this territory of knowing and having very intimate relationship with your breath, and as we travel this journey and take this journey together, I assure you, you will be amazed at what gift you have about with your, something that you haven't even understood or, you know, you have ignored so far. So, please understand that every morning, every evening, you must deep, very deep meditations. You must get to know your breath more and more intimately. How you can know? How can you bring it closer to your attention? What way it comes? Even in this 21 meditations or 21 counts, not 21 meditation, 21 counts of inhalations and exhalations, of no stopping, of omitting the pause, you will see that your prana, your breath is fluctuating. Sometimes it is short, sometimes it is long, sometimes it is like this, sometimes it is stopping, sometimes it is haphazard, sometimes there is jerkiness. All these things, sometimes you are doing very deep, you know, there is a shallow breathing, sometimes it goes deeper. See, this is what I'm saying, is that unless and until you don't prepare your body to get to know your breath properly, deeper awakenings is not possible, because the biggest vehicle of consciousness, of mind, of prana, of life force is breath. Breath is a vehicle to everything. Breath carries oxygen into your system and dispels and throws away all the toxins in the body. But it just doesn't carry oxygen. It carries something else also. And that's called, yogis call it prana, life force. It is not the oxygen that gives you alive. It is a prana that gives you alive. Because if oxygen were able to keep you alive, then the scientists and all the doctors would have made a composition of the breath. They know this much is the oxygen, this much is the amount of nitrogen. They would have pumped it inside a human dead body and the man would have been alive. But it is not so. It is not the oxygen that keeps a person alive. It is the prana, the life force that breath carries inside. So imagine if something like prana is a rider, is riding on your life force, on your breath, and breath is a vehicle to it. Why can't it heal? If it can give you life, why can't it heal you? It has the capacity to heal you totally from everything. See, it is not oxygen that heals. It is not even breath that heals. Breath is only vehicle. What heals is a prana. But that is why you cannot access life force directly. So now, later on you can, and I will show you. I promise you, as you go into this journey, a time will come you may not breathe, but the life force, you will get to know about intimately about the life force. That's why yogis could live without breathing. They didn't need oxygen. They were easily able to tap the life force go into the breathless state, which will all come later on. But for now, we need to know the vehicle first, breath, fully, totally. So the vehicle of life force is the breath. Get to know it fully. Remove the toxins out of your system. Make space inside you. And as oxygen becomes, levels increase in your body, the toxins are thrown out from your body. Then life force, you come to know very deep mysteries about life force, what life force is. You see, that's why to know the life force and how it works, you need to know breath, number one. Second thing, even to know mind, because mind also rides on breath. you may have noticed that people who are agitated have shallow breaths. When they are angry, the breath starts to move up and down. It is related. The mind and the breath are both related to each other. There is a relationship between the mind and the breath. So, how can you know anything deeper about the mind unless and until you don't know about the breath? So again, because breath is a vehicle of all, also the mind, again breath becomes very important. That's why I told you, yogis don't worship anything else except the breath. Pranayama, they say, pranayama mahadharmo vedanam apyo gochara, means the greatest of all dharma is pranayama. Highest dharma is pranayama. Even the Vedas fall short of the glory of your pranayama. It does not, cannot tell you. So many mysteries are involved in pranayama. And as you start to work on your breathing, and as your breath, as you come to know about your breathing, and as you go into higher meditations, all these mysteries will be revealed to you about the mind, about the life force, and about the breathing. Now, of course, how you have to breathe, the rule is very simple at this moment. Is you have to take full capacity inside your lungs and diaphragms, inflate the diaphragms, and then full capacity exhalations without, by omitting the pause in between, but in a gentle way. Okay, we stop when we breathe in between. We don't even realize it, but we hold our breath when we should not be holding the breath. At this stage, when the body is not full of oxygen, creates tremendous toxins in the body. It creates a disease in the body. When oxygen levels are not in your body, are not maintained in the body, and you try to hold the breath, they will create disease and toxins. That's why you must always deep breathe more deeply, inhalation full capacity, then don't pause and don't hold, slowly release it. Now, as I said, you could take the Ujjayi like I did, you could make it Ujjayi and do it like this, or you could just move without noise. But as you will see, the nature of the breath, automatically your body will tell you what you need to do. Sometimes you will do Ujjayi breath. Sometimes you will become very soft breaths. It all depends on how your body and mind wants to deal with the toxins that are there inside you. If it meets tremendous blockages, then it will do it. It cannot go tremendous. It cannot go into forceful breath breathing up and down. It will do probably gentle breathing. And when it finds a path very strong up, it might do Ujjayi. But we don't force anything. We do naturally and effortlessly. We go up and down because it achieves the same thing, the same goal. So pranayama, never forceful, yet you have to do it in full capacity. At the highest capability, we must do it. So I hope this is very clear to all of you. 21 counts of deep inhalations, 21 and exhalations, alternative with omitting the pause in between. Okay, so this brings me to the end of the importance of breath. Why the breath is so important in your, and pranayama is so important in your daily life. To do this for just 12 minutes, very important. And then you can do the Sushumna breathing and bringing the prana into Sushumna, doing the ohms up and down and the ohms up and down and the ohms downwards. Okay. So this requires a little bit of discipline, but like you see, when you started off doing anything which is external hygiene, brushing, bathing, and, you know, cleaning yourself, to look good. You don't think it is discipline anymore. Why? Because it has so become natural part of you. You have been doing this. It has created a groove inside your mind. If you don't brush for in the morning and forget it and you go out of the and into your car, you'll be so uncomfortable. Somebody may not even know about it. It happened with me also once, and not doesn't happen now, so don't worry. But once of the time I was going and I was in my deep meditation and I had to go and receive somebody, and I forgot that I had to brush my teeth, and I took my shower as much as I could, and I went outside into the car and I was sitting, and halfway when I was reaching that person's place, I realized, my God, I haven't brushed my teeth. And imagine the horror that I faced that time. My God, I don't know what is so horrible to have that feeling. Now, when I reached to that person's place, of course, he didn't feel anything because he didn't know. And I was very cautious of keeping a very good distance between him and me. I don't want this, you know, for other person to be so embarrassing that I smell like this. But there was nothing. But in my mind, I was so conscious of that feeling. I was feeling so dirty that, my God, how I could do this. After that incident, I have never skipped my, that is one thing that I, samadhi or no samadhi, I have to brush my teeth. That's for sure. Because of that thing. But what I mean to say is, same thing happens when you do your inner hygiene meditation. Exactly same thing. The breath and the toxins inside of you, as they are living inside, you will feel them. You will feel like as if there is, when we say a muck has, you know, accumulated in your teeth or something, cavity, what is it called? Something, not a cavity, but something that enamel is there or something that feels inside, stuck inside you. Same thing inside your body, you will start to feel there is some kind of muck and dirt inside, and that needs cleaning. And so you will sit every day for at least 15-20 minutes. That's all. And just breathing, just this 21 breaths will be enough, and you will feel so regenerated and energized and happy that you have cleaned yourself properly. Just this 21 counts. You know. So you require little discipline. Because you have had bad habits. When you get up, you immediately go, wash your face, go to the washroom, and then start having your coffee or tea. And then you go to shower, then wash TV, wash the computer, go to work, rush to work, whatever you do. You have bad habits. And if you do not clean yourself inwards, inside, then it will reflect outside. 100%. It will reflect. That's why our state of our mind has become like this. Why there is stress? Why there is anxiety? Why there is depression? Why there is so much worries? It's not happened over a day. It has happened because we have not taken into inner cleaning very importantly. And what does it take? Just this 21 counts here, and you are at least set for that day. At least set for that day. You have cleaned yourself. Then after that, you can think about whether I need to go deeper into the more mysteries of consciousness. Should I do more kriyas? That is different matter. You must always do that. That is very good for you to increase the level of happiness and joy. So the level 2 practices are given for that reason. Increasing the level of joy, happiness, contentment, and how to be detached from this world. And so it required discipline. When I was a small, you know, when I was into college, in school actually, and I was in a place in Noida, in Delhi, and we are transferred. I was extremely bad in mathematics, very bad. I was a very poor student of mathematics. I did not know how to count properly or how to give, you know, exams. I used to fail in exams, and I was so scared of giving examinations or being in a class also. Now my father, the great man that he is, he somehow managed to put me into a very good school with very extremely brilliant students. Imagine my self-confidence, what it would be. So anyway, everybody was solving all the mathematic questions and everything, and I was like completely lost. So there was this professor who was there, very strict professor, very, very strict. He had a stick in his hand all the time. And during those days in India and in Delhi, now those people don't hit. But that time we have had some serious spanking from our professors, very bad. And he used to take opportunity to hit us. Very sadistic person. So, and I was always his victim somehow. He would know this man will not know the answer to this. And I used to hide behind all the students. So when he used to ask his question, I used to tilt this way so that the person who's next to me, I'm hiding behind him. You know, I was very thin that time, not now. I have become more broad now. But that time I was very, very thin. So here I used to sit. But that guy had sharp eyes. He knew who was hiding behind and who's the ones who's adjusting their body in such a way that cannot be seen. So he used to move like I used to move. So if I used to go like this, he used to go like this. If I used to go like this, he used to go like that. But he would find me. And every day I used to get hit by him in my knuckles. But that didn't change me, you know, because I was so scared of this person and I can't even take holiday. Because if I take any holiday or bunk his class, next day he would catch me and say, why, what happened? Why didn't you come to class? And I would say, I was not well. He would say, go write from your parents. There used to be a diary. In the diary, there used to be a full sheet. What is the reason why you haven't come? So my parents would not lie and write it, all that. So what to do now? So I asked some of my students, one of my colleagues, I was really crying and telling, you know, I'm getting hit every day and I don't know how to study. What to do? He says he has an idea. And he said, what? I said, what? You take him as your teacher. Take him as your teacher. Take private tuitions from him. Because I've heard if you take private tuitions from him, he gets some extra money. And if he gets some extra money from you, he will stop hitting you, I'm sure. And he started taking tuitions now, private tuitions. I said, that's a brilliant idea. So I went to him very slowly, quietly. He asked me a question. I could not answer. So I was putting my hand already so that he could hit me. But then I said, I want to ask you something, sir. Before you hit me, I want to ask you something. He said, what? I said, do you take tuitions? He said, yes, I take tuitions. Private tuitions? He said, yes. What happened? Why? I said, my parents want to meet you for this reason. He didn't hit me. I said, please don't hit me. You know, when you come home, we'll talk about it. And he said, okay, I promise you, I will not hit you anymore. You know, I was so happy. Beautiful. This solved my problem. Because I don't want to get hit at all. So he came to my house. We sat together. Very strict man. Very strict. He would not talk properly also. Ruthless, rude man. But sharp. Very sharp. And we sat together and we gave him tea. And I told my mom that, you know, please give some biscuits also to him. Give him everything to eat so that he is mellowed. You know, he has some more care of. My mom said, okay, no problem. We'll give you. So he recruited. I recruited him. Means, you know, he became my teacher. He would come every evening. And so he said, from tomorrow, I'm going to come. I said, okay, very good. The next day he came and we started learning and he started teaching me. I have never been thrashed by anybody the way he thrashed me at home that day. He beat me black and blue. I said, what the hell just happened? He is slapping me, he's hitting me. What happened to my plan? I did not know. I went and told him. I said, sir, I was very angry because all the frustration was there. I said, sir, you promised you will not hit me and now you're hitting me. He said, yes, I promised you I will not hit you in school, but I did not promise you I will not hit you at home. So in school, I will not hit you, but in home, if I see you, I will definitely see that if you're not properly studying, I will be strict with you. And that left an impression in my mind. I started scoring very well out of fear of him. I started studying, applying myself to this man. He changed the way that I was learning something. Of course, I'm not defending violence of any kind. During those times, those are the ways that he felt was important. That's the way to deal with us. And maybe he was right. You know. So disciplining, he put me into a path of discipline. The same professor, after 3 years when I came back, had completely changed. He had become completely friendly, very nice. And he started, you know, he was very happy to get my tuitions back. But this time he would watch TV with me. He would have Coke with me. He would have pizza with me. He would, and I thought, what happened to this man? He's just changed completely. From what a strict man he was, he's become such a friendly man. He became like my friend. I asked him, what happened? Why have you changed? He said, now I am not going to do all these things. Why should I take so much headache of all of my students? I am fed up with all this. You always study, you'll study. If you don't study, it's up to you. You know, let's have fun. Let's have something. You will pass somehow. I'll make you pass. I lost respect for that man. You know, I lost respect. Somehow I just could not relate to that man anymore. I loved and missed that man who was there, who was so much disciplining me, because those were those seeds. If I have to remember somebody who put those seeds of discipline, it was him. And the very man who had completely changed and switched into becoming more friendly to you, more nicer to you, ignoring everything that you were saying, had completely changed. And now I don't, and I almost dropped him from, I actually dropped him and found some other teacher with my parents, because I started to fare bad again in my exams because of his attitude. How his attitude of your teacher is will depend upon your practice. You know, that's why your teachers have to be very honest and they have to be truthful to you. That's how I feel I have learned from my guru. You know, now, of course, I don't have a stick in my hand, so you don't have to worry about anything about that thing. But somebody might say that your words are like a stick. They hit us so strong and pierce us so much. You know, Masumi is here. She used to say, you know, there are many gurus who have made me very happy. If I have to look at love and joy, then I can be with them. But if there's one guru who makes me very miserable, it's you. And that's what I like about you, because you make me so miserable. Nobody else makes me so miserable. So I don't know if it is, she's trying to praise me or she's trying to do what, but whatever it is, I'm giving my whatever I have learned, placing it to people, to you all, without ghumaving firaving means not going in circles. In Hindi, we say ghumaving firaving means going around in circles and circles and circles. No, straight. This is what I feel. This is what it is. If it works, great. If it doesn't, Ram Ram. That's what I believe. Okay. So coming back to this, we forgot to completely address the last time's two A's that were there. We spoke about the A's of the first A that was there, which was arrogance. I will speak very little about it. About the other two, because there's nothing really much to speak about those two is, you will understand it. You all are so bright already. You are so aware about many things already that you will understand. The second A that causes fluctuations in the level of chitta or mind lake is attachment. First was arrogance. Second is attachment. What is attachment? I have to give a definition. It is failure to see impermanence in a seemingly perfect world. When you fail to see the impermanence, when you fail to see the transitory nature of the world and bank upon completely on every object or objects and attach yourself to something, you will definitely bound to suffer in your life. You know. So you have to be very careful about this. You apply the second, am I attached by any way to this person who's causing me suffering, or to a situation that is causing me suffering? Am I attached to it? Am I looking at something? You know, we become so much attracted to something or some situation or a job or a relationship or a person so much that we forget our own center of beingness. we become completely invested in that. And that causes us to have what we call as a situation called as toxic codependency. In toxic codependency, you have moved away from love and you have moved into toxicity. What we call as love becomes a toxic relationship between you and the object. It could be a job, it could be money, it could be a person, it could be anything, even your dog, anything. If you are having any relationship that eats up your and agitates you so much that a slight change in the person's behavior or situation completely disturbs you, remember, you are in toxic relationship or a toxic codependency without even you realizing that you are in that state. So you can, your mind will defend it and say, no, I'm loving this. This is my emotion being or this, etc. But do not fall for that. Take your space. Come back to pranayama. Break that. Create a break in that and be into your beingness. Nobody's saying don't love. Nobody's saying don't express. Nobody's saying, don't care about anybody. Absolutely. But you must do that. But remember, where it becomes toxic, it will start to eat up your own happiness. What happens in a toxic codependency is without even you realizing, you start to hate that person or that being or that job, or inside, you don't even realize it. Subconsciously, your beingness starts to project anger into the person. Project hatred onto the person, project everything, because there is toxicity that you feel is because of the dependency. Toxicity levels in your body automatically increases. And so it cannot breathe. You cannot breathe your own beingness because you feel trapped into a situation or a job or relationship, whatever. And then there is an anger that gets projected. So always take a break. Whomsoever you're loving, you always be together. Nobody's saying no, and nobody's saying everything. But when you use your time to meditation, you must throw all of that out of your body. Throw all of that out of your system. You cannot afford to think during your meditation about anybody else. Because any object that will appear in your meditation while you are meditating means there is dependency. Do not think about that. Move into your own breath. Your object of meditation is not the person, not the situation, not the job, not the money problem, not the children, not your dog, none of that. They will come first in your meditation. They will come first because when you sit quietly, whatever you are very much attached to will come immediately onto your consciousness, into your sphere of awareness. Do something about this. And then you start to think. You were supposed to do your meditation. That meditation goes away and you start to ponder on the person or a situation or whatever it is. So please remember, be aware of this, that during your meditation, this meditation, that's why I'm saying disciplining is so good in your, and especially the kriyas that we are doing are so strong that it destroys and severs the ties between you, emotional ties, or the codependency ties between you and the object. And you see a different dimension of your own existence. Your own meaning is no more dependent exclusively on the relationship that you have with your job or with the person or with the being or whoever it is. It changes. It becomes with you and your breath, you and your consciousness, you and your mind. Very important to understand this, and that's why disciplining is very important. Okay, that is the second point, attachment. And we come to the third part of the klesha or the cause which creates fluctuations in the mind field or in the chitta field, and that's called avoidance. Okay, avoidance is just the opposite of attachment, actually. Where you fail to see permanence in a seemingly imperfect world. It's just the opposite. The definition is absolutely opposite of that. Where you fail to see permanence in a seemingly imperfect world. Means now, here you have decided that everything is so imperfect that I am going to avoid everything. I'm going to escape everything. I'm not going to be with anybody. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to just be myself. Here you have forgotten and completely forgotten this thing. You have completely escaping or avoiding everything, every situation, every not realizing that in that other also there is speck of perfection, of permanence. There is some permanence even in imperfect world. Okay, that is the definition of avoidance. That where you do not feel. So give you an example how it is. In the first one, a person who loves a swimmer, or you can say a diver, who loves to go into the ocean, and he does not provide for the turbulence of the waves, and he just dives inside. What is going to happen to him? Because he has not provided for the turbulence of the wave, he has forgotten, he has let go, he has become completely, did not put vigilance, he was not cautious enough, and so he's going to meet his death, or he's going to get drowned, or he's going to get completely hurt by just going like that. Because he's passionate about something, he goes into the world. Just like the moth, it meets its end when it goes and sees the flame. It's attracted to them. The moth is attracted to the flames, to the brightness, and goes into the flames and dies. That's what happens. When you go without caution into anything, into the world, then that is called attachment. You will meet your end that way. But the other part of it is when you're so fearful about everything in the world, as if everything is just going to kill me. Everything is just going to be, you are very much scared of it. You go to another tangent of fear. From completely being impulsive, which is attachment, being very much passionate, you have now gone into the opposite path of it, where you have become very much fearful. So the same diver, I would say, who's always looking at how turbulent the waves are going to be, will never be able to get himself into the ocean. He will never be able to go and find out the jewels that are lying inside. Even in this world, even amongst us, there are many people, they are beautiful, and they have their issues, they have their stuff, but they're also connected to us through a purity of consciousness. There is something that is pure in them. There is something that is pure in us. And that connection is there, much like in the ocean and the waves. What is common between the ocean and the turbulent waves is that both are water. It is a common ingredient. It is water. Why you have to fear then anything? You exercise your caution and you move freely into the world, knowing this, that everything is going to be taken care of. But fear paralyzes you. So avoidance happens when you start to be, oh, I better be away from all of these things. And so I'm not going to come near it. You will never grow this way in life. This is the third klesha, cause of problem, or where the chitta is like this. Three A's, as I say. Arrogance, attachment, and avoidance. And in your meditation, every time, anytime you feel agitated, anytime, you sit your eyes closed, keep your eyes closed, sit properly, very relaxed manner. If you can do your inner hygiene meditation first before you burn, very good. If you can do it, start with that, because that will bring some oxygen in your system first. As you breathe into your system, tremendous oxygen entering into every cell of your body and energizing your body, you start to feel better. There will be some clarity, even though things will work out here around as if there's a fog. Mental fog will be there because you're agitated or you're depressed or you're anxious about something. Don't worry. Breathe. This is a simple solution. First you breathe, 21 times breathing. Then wherever you feel, whichever place you feel that you're feeling constriction, blockages, just apply the breathing there and just settle down. Then we come to the burning aspect of it. Before burning, you ask yourself these three questions. Maybe you don't need to burn at all. If you ask yourself these three questions, am I being arrogant in this? Am I being attached to this? Or am I avoiding something? these three things, if you ask this question, just inside, mentally, you will see that one of these things you might be carrying with you, or maybe two of these things you might be carrying, or you might be carrying all three of them within you in your meditation. And so you drop one by one thing. Say you're attached to something, you drop that. Say you're attached to a particular situation, you can just say to yourself, God's will be done. He does everything. So you drop the attachment part of it, right? Or if you feel someone is being very rude to you, someone has been very, very bad to you, not behaved very well to you, remember the occasion when the person also was nice to you, did things for you. Automatically, I'm not saying you have to be, there is a solution. That is not a solution. But it is just to calm your mind so that you can come with the right clarity of mind. You can always remember that point. So remember, avoidance. There is a sense of permanence with me and that person. What is that? Pure consciousness exists in him. Pure consciousness exists in me. In everybody, in anybody, that part of our consciousness is there in me. That part of consciousness is there in you. Connect to that. You'll come to know, it'll be easier for you to process things. Easier for you. Otherwise, you will not know. You'll be blinded. You'll not be clear. For clarity, these three A's are very important. And then last is arrogance. Are you arrogant about something? Immediately, are you putting the person down for some reason? Are you mentally thinking that you're superior to somebody? It happens. Ego. And sit with that. Find out. If you apply these three A's and you see, automatically you will feel a sense of calmness existing inside you. And then you can take clarity, will emerge from there and you will be there. So first do the inner hygiene. Then apply the three A's. And then after you have insight, even if that doesn't happen, there will be some burning that might take place. No problem. Let the burning be there. It's okay. That will take care of completely the vasana aspect. These three things will sum up the entire vasana aspect of you. Clear your entire chitta fully. Okay. Like that. All right. So now what I can do is I can leave you all with these three A's. You can sit, go through some episode that you might have with somebody or something. Apply this. Are you carrying any of these three A's with you when it comes to the relationship with that person? Drop one by one. Arrogance, attachment, avoidance, and be light. Even if you don't find a solution, at least you'll be lighter. And that is great because then you can meditate. You cannot meditate having so many things on your shoulders and in your mind and everywhere. You have offloaded all of that. Now just sit and you go into your beingness and you can do your kriyas. You can do your Advaita practices very, very easily after you've applied these principles. Okay. In the next satsang that we meet, that will be my last satsang before I go to LA, and we will not be having satsang for 20 days because I'll be there in LA, but I'll be there for my question answers, anything, or if you want to call anytime, I'll be there. You can talk to me by sending a request on my contact form and we can find out a way to talk. But during that time, in the next week, next 15 days afterwards, I will take some questions from all of you regarding your practice. And I also will give you some more hints, what we need to proceed, how we need to proceed about how to do your meditations in it. So be ready for some questions. I would encourage you to send me questions before anonymously, means with your name, but I will not be telling those names. You can send me if you have any questions that you want to do so that I can take those 3-4 questions in the next time. All right. So I'll see you in 15 days. Sit and apply these things that we have spoken about, the inner hygiene and about the three A's. Okay. And then I'll see you in 15 days time. All right. Pranam. Love you, everybody, very much. Take care.